This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn and Julian. Now, earlier this week, Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said that the National Security Council will be meeting to determine whether there is a need to extend the movement control order by another week or two, depending on the level of compliance with the MCO, which is currently at almost 90%.
Yep. So if the MCO is extended, this will no doubt affect the schools in the country, which has had its one-week school holiday extended until March 31st to curb the movement of people due to the COVID-19.
And for more on this, so we have on the line with us Chan Sun Seng, Program Director at Teach for Malaysia. Thank you very much for joining us, Sun Seng, and good morning. If the MCO is extended for another 2 weeks, how is this going to affect our schools, especially the public schools, as well as public exams like the SPM?
Hi, good morning. So I think a key concern with our public school system is the public exams and whether or not teachers and students are going to be able to cover all of the curriculum necessary for them to succeed in the exams, right? Because it won't be fair for students to be sitting for these exams if they haven't even had the opportunity to actually learn the content that is being tested. So I think the first area of consideration is whether these exams need to be extended or need to be postponed. Another area in which it will impact is, well, obviously, how are the students going to learn within this period, right? And I think the key shift globally, and that's already happening in Malaysia, is shifting towards e-learning platforms, and there are implications around that as well. But I think there are also broader implications about some of the social supports that school provides for students. So, for example, there are students that rely on, for example, the free breakfast or the free lunch programs that are provided in schools. And so for some of the lowest income students, that's actually their meal for the day or part of the nutrition that they receive in the day. And so how do they then make up for some of those things? So I would say that the three sort of like key considerations are, well, what do we do with exams? That's going to be affected. How do we deliver learning in the MCO environment? And then how do we continue to maintain the well-being or look after the well-being of students who actually rely on the school institution for a key part of their well-being?
And do you think that the SPM and STPM are likely to be cancelled because the British IGCSE and the IB have been postponed and the universities in the UK are allowing for the use of forecast results?
Yeah, so I think the difference between, for example, like IGCSE, because IGCSE happens middle of the year, right? Whereas SPM happens later towards the end of the year, right? And so we still have the opportunity out, depends on how long the extension is going to be. So we still have the opportunity, if the extension isn't that long, to reduce school holidays in the middle of the year and towards the end of the year. So there's a possibility that we can postpone SPM later on in the year. But there is no talk yet as to whether that's going to be postponed yet or going to be cancelled yet. And I think the MOE is still number one, prioritizing how to transfer onto the e-learning platforms at this point in time, and how to sort of focus on the academic delivery. But there hasn't been a decision made yet. But we still have the opportunity to not cancel that and to seek a postponement within the year at this stage. But there just need to be major adjustments that will have to be made.
So you've referenced things like e-learning that some schools have started to implement. But on a broader scale, what kind of support are you seeing for these schools, teachers, as well as students, if any?
Yeah, so maybe let me address the e-learning piece a little bit. So I think that the key thing that teachers or schools will have to be able to support their kids with is through e-learning. And so basically, and we've seen like many creative ways that across the world, but Malaysian teachers as well are also starting to engage their students. Even though we're currently in an extended school holiday period, many teachers are starting to figure out creative ways to get in touch with their students using all sorts of platforms. MOE itself shifted last year to their digital learning platform, which is an entirely Google Place platform, which gives teachers access to the entire Google apps for education, the G Suite for education. And so whether that's Google Classroom, Google Sites, Hangouts, but we've seen teachers using Instagram Live. We've seen teachers using Zoom calls and getting their kids onto those things. And so the thing about that is, I think there's two questions around that. Number one is capability. So will all teachers be able to make that shift to e-learning? So in Malaysia, we've got about 400,000 teachers. Over 1,000 of them are Google certified educators. And Google is currently running webinars for teachers to figure out how to engage in e-learning. There's a lot of resources that are out there, and there are also Malaysian teachers that are being really creative in this space. But the question is, will there be teachers out of the 400,000 that get left behind or won't be, or that might not be able to catch up? And so the question is, how do we support them to be able to upskill really quickly at this time? And I think that MOE is looking into that. Another implication around e-learning, though, is also access. So Malaysia does have a relatively high internet penetration rate. We're almost 90% in terms of internet users, and about 93% of our internet users are on smartphones. But the question is, what happens to kids that don't have access to internet or mobile internet? And so how might the government then support them? YTL announced today that they are providing 40 gigabytes of internet for the next 60 days for families that have children that go to public schools, and they're also providing all of the e-learning content on their Frog platform. So that's one way, but we might need to look to other telcos to be providing a similar kind of response as well to ensure that all kids might have access or coverage. Another concern, though, if we think about kids in low-income areas and their living situation, is will they have a conducive learning environment to learn from? So if you're living in a household of like 9 people and you're in a low cost flat, will you even have the space or ability to learn? And so it's, I think, teachers working really creatively with parents to figure out how to set up living spaces. Maybe multiple students, even though they might not be in the same school, in the same class, they might just be dialing in onto one device, connecting on one device. So how do teachers work creatively with parents to figure out situations, the situation at this time? And I think that one thing that we have begun to see, maybe silver lining, is that an increase in parental engagement, because they've had to become more involved in helping their kids to connect and figure out what they're learning.
A lot of insights there, Soon Singh. And the Prime Minister is about to introduce or to announce the stimulus measures in a few days' time. Do you have a wish list?
Yeah. So like I said, I think the internet access for kids, depending on how long the MCO is going to be extended for, kids are going to need that access to the internet. And for the minority of kids that don't have access, how do we ensure that they're not left behind and the gap does not widen? So how do we provide them access? I think also, even just thinking about like I said earlier, in terms of the well-being and welfare of students, if they were reliant on free lunch programs or free breakfast programs in schools, how do we ensure that our kids are taken care of, right? And so, for example, like in countries like in Argentina, they are under a restricted movement order as well, and students can still go to schools to receive lunch, even though they don't have classes. But that might not necessarily be the solution for us, but how do we figure out something that takes care of the well-being of kids as well? And then in the event that school reopens, how are schools resourced with protective measures? hand sanitizers, face masks, enough sinks for kids to be washing their hands and teachers to be washing their hands as well, temperature, monitoring equipment and all of that stuff as well.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Sun Seng. That was Chan Sun Seng, Program Director at Teach for Malaysia, with some quite interesting insights into how this MCO is affecting our children who are now outside of school since the schools have closed. What happens to those who have no access to the internet, for example, or those who are reliant upon the school's free lunch programs? Now, this is something that we'll be watching very closely for the remainder of the MCO period, but we are right now heading into the 8 o'clock news bulletin. And after that, the Breakfast Grill, where Shanning speaks with Richard Record, lead economist at the World Bank, as well as Professor Mahendran, economics professor at Monash University, to talk about the impact of all of these things, the COVID-19, change of government and plunging oil prices on the Malaysian economy. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.